as you lift our voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
We want to go into the word of the Lord. I want to deal with the subject of tithing. Amen. Oh, amen. Clap your two hands. I want to deal with the subject of tithing. I want everybody to pay very rapt attention to me. Reasons why I pay my tithe. Reasons why I pay my tithe. Reasons why I pay my tithe. I want us all to be seated and then write these things down. And write these things down. I want to talk to you about why I choose to pay my tithe. Why I pay my tithe. Maybe there'll be a reason why you should also consider paying your tithe. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. Look at what the word of God says. And the reason why I need to talk about such a topic, why I pay my tithes. Amen? Oh, amen. 1 Peter 3, 15 to 17. We are all reading one go. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with all meekness and reverence, that is fear. He says that sanctify the Lord. You let me just end over there. He says sanctify the Lord in your heart. That means that let God be special to you personally. Tell somebody by you, let God be special to you. Let the things of God be very important to you. Sanctify it in your heart. Sanctify God in your heart. God should be sanctified, precious in your heart. Sanctify God in your heart and be always ready to answer to anyone who asks you why you have such hope, why you believe in God, why you do the things that you do for the Lord. Be ready to answer. And so, we will not be apologetic when it comes to why we stand or why we do the things that we as believers and as church workers. I want to arm you with this mystery. I want to arm you with this mystery, and I wish everybody in this church will hear this. Because we are living in a time and a season where a lot of believers don't know why they pay tithes. And those who don't know why they pay tithes, with time stop paying tithes. Even those who pay, some do not know why they pay. Those who engage it, some do not know why they do it. And if you are part of that group, it's just a matter of time and you also fall out and not be a faithful person in your tithing. So let us look at why I pay tithes. And it may be a reason why every believer should also be a tither. If you are a Christian, a church worker, a lover of God, someone who sanctifies God in your heart. Malachi 3 verse 10. Malachi 3 verse 10 all the way to verse 12. Malachi 3 verse 10 to 12. We are all reading together. I want to read. I want all of us to study this as church workers. Let's study it together. So let's read together one go. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, may that be your portion. Now go on. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Okay? I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Go on. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Go on. And all nations will call you blessed. After the title, all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Clap your two hands for Jesus. Zeal for the Lord. Oh, zeal for the Lord. We must be zealous. Amen. Now, the Bible is talking about a mystery that we call the mystery of tithing. And he says over here that bring all the tithes to my house. In those days, they were farmers. They were not trading in money like we are trading in money. They were farmers and husbandmen, practicing animal husbandry. So they were raising animals and they were growing crops. And so when the Bible says that, so that there will be food in my house, it was because of what they were dealing in. Amen. So in today's terms, it will say so that there will be enough money in my house. Would you permit us to say that? Is it right to say that? Because I don't think there's a farmer here. And now all farmers, I say the produce for money. You don't keep it, you don't keep your farm produce in your house eating. No. You know, I don't think there's anybody here practicing animal husbandry. Amen. So that there will be, and then he says that now, try me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. And that means that people who even doubt the power of tithing have been permitted by God to practice tithing over a period of time to try God and see whether it doesn't work. Tell somebody it works. If God is not sure, he will not ask you to try him. Okay? Then he says that, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so that you will not have enough room to receive it. That means that there is a type of blessing, dimension of blessing that is only provoked through tithing. That's what the Bible just said. And people who practice the tithe very well and faithfully, Bible says that they will not even have enough room to receive it. You see, a lot of times, even those who say they are practicing the tithing are not practicing it well. So they don't see the fruits thereof. But Bible says that if truly that you practice the tithe, or truly that you are faithful in your tithing, then he, the Lord, will open the windows of heaven in such a way that you begin to receive multiplication and blessings over your life in a way that you will not have enough room to even contain it. May that be your story. Oh, for every tither here, may that be your story. You say, I know some of you pay tithe. I know some of you pay it once in a while. I know some of you pay it once in 3 months. I know some of you try to pay the tithe, but it's not the 10%, so it's not even qualified as a tithe. And these are some of the reasons why you don't really see what you're supposed to see. But if it must be done, it must be done. Oh, are you here? If it must be done, it must be done. Why do I pay tithe? He says that when he releases that blessings upon you, you will become a delightful land. That means that people will take interest in you. Everybody likes a successful man. They say failure is an orphan, but success has many fathers and mothers. True or not true? If you have failed, nobody will come out and say that you are my child. Have you ever seen anybody fighting on the radio that a certain popular thief or somebody is his child? No. If you succeed right now, your biological father will appear, even though he was missing all through your life. Yes. And so, failure is an orphan. Failure doesn't have parents. But once you succeed, you will become a delightful land. I pray for every church worker here that may you enter into a realm of success. You see, it is in that realm that you become celebrated among people. Place where people want to associate with you, where people want to be with you, where people want to be identified with you. So these are some few things about tithing that is being taught out there. Now, listen to me carefully. The reason why I pay tithe, number one, so that are you saying the reason why I pay tithe, number one, is that it provides for God's house. The number one reason is that it provides for God's house. It provides for God's house. That's one of the key reasons why I, your pastor, I pay tithe. And that's the reason why, one of the reasons why we pay tithe. God said it clearly here to his church, so that there will be food in my house. So that there will be meat in my house. So that there will be food in my house. So there will be meat in my house. Are you getting it? And write everything I'm saying. God wants to have a house that is filled with resources. God's house must not be in lack and want. How many of you want God's house to be in lack and want? The number one reason why I pay tithe is because God's house must not be in lack and in want, so that there will be enough resources in God's house. Now, how many of you know that the church is God's house? Aside the revelation of you yourself being an ecclesia, a church, that the Spirit of God resides in you, the gathering together of the saints is also called the church. That's why Paul wrote to the saints, the church in Corinth, the church in Romans, the church in... So he kept right. So the gathering together, we are the called out ones. So we are also called the church. You understand? And when we gather as an institution called the church, so this is a place that God has put his name. According to Deuteronomy chapter 26, it says, you take the tithes to the place where God has put his name and hand it over to the priest. So that tells us that where God has put his name, there is a worker there called priest. And I don't know any other place where there is a worker there called pastor than the church. Do you understand? Have you opened it? Everything I'm saying, open. This is a very controversial subject. So everything should be back to the scripture. Deuteronomy 26 is where I quoted. Verse 2, 3, grammar. Now listen. So if the church is the house of God, and God is saying that bring all the tithes so that there will be resources in the church, that is a reason why we pay tithe. Now, if in the Old Testament or in these days there was church and workers in the church and they needed resources, and now we are in a New Testament and we are in a new dispensation, the question you must ask yourself is that, do we still have the church? And do we still have the workers in the church? And would the church still need resources to operate? Now, I want to throw that question to you. In this dispensation of grace, do we still have church? In this dispensation of grace, do the church still pay bills? In this dispensation of church, do we still have people working for the church fully? Who needs to be taken care of? In this dispensation of the church, do we have the world giving free things to the church? No. The church you are sitting on, did you buy it or it's for free? It was bought. The microphones we are speaking through, it was bought. Now, in the days of the Old Testament, when there was a church, they had everything free. Even in their freeness, God still said the tithes should be brought so that they will not lack in what they need to run the church. Now, every church worker should understand this, because I will not be in your office when you are being challenged. I will not be with you on the social media when you read a statement or you hear somebody saying something. But I am just presenting my case, why I pay tithe. You also think whether what I'm saying, there's wisdom in it, and whether it is backed with scriptures, and then you make your own decision. Can I hear an amen? So in those days, when they were practicing church, and even people were bringing them the linen free, people were bringing them everything they used in the days of Moses, Bible said that the people brought them. It was even more than enough. When they are building temples, tabernacles, people go to cut trees and come and build for free for the church. Today, do masons build free for the church? Oh, come on, talk to me. Do we get blocks for free? Are we here? Did the woman give us this place for free? No. There is nothing like that. Every instrument you see there didn't come for free. At least I've been out there with the head of our instrumentalist, Mike. Did we go with money, or they gave us the things for free? You bought it with money. We counted money. Where did the money come from? Tell somebody, the tithes. Say the tithes. You see, so when God says that, bring all the tithes to the storehouse so that there will be resources in my house. If it was applicable then, is it not applicable now? Yeah. Clap your two hands for me. It is even more applicable now. Because now, when you go to buy something and they even know that you were church, they increase it. Oh, how many of you have you ever bought something in the name of a church? You were sent to buy something for church. You will realize that what I'm saying is real. If they hear that, they increase it. If you're even buying a land, those days, lands were given to churches for free. That's why you see these mainline churches, like the Catholic, and they have lands, huge lands. Some are almost like an estate kind of land. Huge lands. Because in those days, when any faithful member of the church is dying, they put the church in the will. It was one of the Catholic systems. You will some of your properties to the church, and they will their lands. That's why they had so many lands. So you realize that they were getting things for free. But now, everything is bought. Those days, market women will carry foodstuffs to the church. Oh, you've not heard before. Go and ask your mother. So anytime you pass by the mission house, there's food. There's something to eat for free. The church can just say they are feeding poor people because the members bring foodstuffs and things for free. I get what I'm saying. But now, if you are even going to try to feed poor people or something and you are looking for money, you will realize that now people have changed towards God. And it is not very, very easy at all. Amen. So, the first reason why I pay tithe, and the first reason why you should pay tithe, is because the Bible says that it makes available resources for the running of God's church. How many of you want God's church to be closed down? if you want the church to be closed, it's not important. It should be closed down. Lift up your hands and let me see. Now, if you are not paying tithe, it's an indirect statement that the church should be shut down. You and those that are asking for the closure of churches are the same. Unfortunately, the reason is because what it takes to run churches, the main source of income for every church has been the tithe. Not in our days, from the days of the beginning, has been like that. It has been like that. It's not in our days. It started years before we all were born, even before Jesus came. It has been the tithe. It has been the tithe. And so, failure for a church leader like you, a staunch member like you, a pastor like you, a shepherd like you are, a strong chorister or usher like you are, failure to pay tithe is an indirect statement to say that the same church you are serving through, that church should be shut down. That's why I pay tithe. So the next time you pick the microphone to sing, to lead prayer, ask yourself whether you are tighter. The next time you dress smartly to come and carry this offering bag and serve people, ask whether the money that was used to manufacture this offering bag, whether your tithe is in it. The next time you walk to the church and you sit down, ask whether your tithe got this chair. Ask whether your tithe is what is fueling, is what is paying for generation of light, is what is running things. Huh? This bulb is sport. It's about 350 series. This one too, 350 series. So for me to change this two light, I need 700 series. How many months of your tithe is that? That's the reality of running church. And God instituted the tithe so that there will be what? The running of the church. So that there will be food in the house of God. Now, when there is food in the house of God, it is used to do what? It is used to run the day-to-day activities of the church. Pay bills. Do things for the church. Run day-to-day activities for the church. That will promote the cause of God. That will promote the cause of God. But when there is no money, you see that we cannot do certain things that we really want to do. The church wants to give scholarships, but we may not be able to really give enough scholarships. The church will want to really support businesses, but we may not be able to. The church wants to maybe feed the poor in a certain season, but we may not be able to because there is no resources. Or the resources that are coming are not enough because you and I are not paying our tithes. Please, are you following me at all? Or you don't like what we are discussing this evening? Ask the one by you, are you a faithful tither? I said you should ask, are you a faithful tither? Look at Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 9 to 13. Just look at it. If I am making it up, there is importance. Listen. I will show you something for you to understand. We are all going to read, okay? Please, are you ready to read with me? One, go. This is just my number one, so let's hurry up. One, go. Then I commanded them. This Nehemiah trying to, he has finished building the wall, and now he's trying to restore the worship of God to the people. But they stopped worshiping God. They become like strangers, and he was trying to set it. So when he got here, he's telling us what he did. So everybody, let's read. One, go. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms. And I brought back into them the articles of the house of God. The things that were in the house of God, I brought them back. They cleaned God. They stopped worshiping God. So the temple was filled with, you can imagine, an abandoned storeroom. Cobwebs and dirt. So they cleaned the place and then they brought back the vessels for communion and all the things. Then what happened? With the grain offering and the frankincense, verse 10. Those are the parts you are not reading. One, go. And I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them. For each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to their own field. The instrumentalists have stopped playing instrument.
Skido is smiling. Skido, you like smiling? You really like this scripture?
The instrumentalists have stopped playing. And the singers have stopped singing. The Levite tablet, the pastors have stopped coming. It's like the time you come here now, you not come and meet Pastor Prince. Like, where is Pastor Prince? They say, oh, now he's working in Ghana Commercial Bank. Say, Tofiakwa. Now you come here daytime with an emergency and I'm not here to pray for you. Now the emergency, I have to just drive like today. Somebody called me emergency. I have to drive to a hospital. Will I leave Ghana Commercial Bank when I'm basically counting somebody's money and recording money that is not mine? By the time I finish and I attend to the person who have died. The person would have died. The Bible said, Nehemiah said, because the portion, everybody said there is a portion for Levites. There's a portion. Who are the Levites? The Levites are just from the son of Levi. They are one of the tribes. Now, the Levites, they are the sons of Levi who was appointed, who was chosen that you will produce your tribe. You will produce the pastors, the musicians, the priests, those who work in the temple. Those who work in the temple. So anybody here who works in the temple, like you and I, all of us here, who are temple workers, full-time especially, those of us who are full-time, who work here from morning to we are, the people he's talking about, the Levites, they were not given any farm. Are you following me? They were not given any land. When they conquered Jericho, they shared the land. And they shared it for only 11 sons. They didn't give the 12th son. The 12th son was Levi. And they said, Levi, you will not get any land. But the other 11 people will all go and work in their lands. Then when they finish and they harvest, they will bring you 10% to you, Levi, so that you have food to also take care of yourselves and the work you are doing for us. We are going. You should be praying for us. We are going to farm. You be here and pray for us. Be here and prepare for our coming. When we come, we'll come and join you for the worship. But be here, prepare, rehearse. Train yourself, learn some, so that when we come, you can minister to us. You see how it was operating in those days. So like for morning, Michael, Skido, they will be here, just praying, worshiping, rehearsing. Minister Collins, Divine Selassie, all of them, they will be here for morning, worshiping the Lord, rehearsing, learning new songs. So by the time that the others will come, we are ready, we are soaked, we are prepared, then we will now what? Minister to them. Now that's the work of a Levite. So they were not permitted to work, to go to farms and other things. By the time we start doing opening prayer, our keyboardist is in traffic. He's working. Or there is working, he's in traffic. They are now calling, where are you? Say, I'm coming. I have to drop somebody at the BSA somewhere. Because originally, a Levite is supposed to be in the temple. It's not supposed to be coming from the BSA. Are you getting what I'm saying? I want you to have a basic understanding of something. Because you are a church worker. You should understand what is happening now. So that when somebody says that something is not applicable anymore, you yourself, whether logic, whether you yourself, you think about it, say that this thing isn't real, then the church should be shut down. Is that I also realize that the process of it has not been given them for each of the Levites and the singers, musicians who did the work have gone back to their fields. They've gone back to their fields. Gone back to their farms. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given them, and that all the Levites and musicians, this is the word I'm looking for, and the musicians responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. Like, now I can't pay Livingston. I said, Livingston, go back to work. I called him to resign from work, and he came. He said, okay, go back to your work, because I can't pay you. Go back to your work. That's the meaning of this. The likes of Pastor Cole and all those people, they would have been working for the church full time, but I forced them to go and look for jobs. Because I said, I can't pay you. We can't pay you now. The tithes are not coming. The true tithes of God's people are not coming. So if you are here, come back to your wife, no man. So I've not permitted any of them to work for the church full time, because if they try, the conversion of God, the tithes will not come. I can't say that, Michael, stop working and come and sit home and be a priest. That's why you go to ICGC headquarters. You go to Christ Temple and you go and see the band. You envy the band, but you are envying something wrong. You are envying something you can't afford, because they work full time. They work full time. So when you see them, they seem like a real band, orchestra, everything is inside. And you think that because they have, how did they have money to do that? It's the tithes. People are taking the tithes seriously. Otherwise, we have to let all of them go. When we close them, we all do fefe kobo. Come, where are you? Hurry up and come and sing. Why are you dry? Why are you dry? Now, I'm going to conquer in every house. Some of you, the elders and this thing, when you come, you see you are dodging under the stairs there, because you don't feel the anointing. You've gone to town to hustle, and some of you fought. You've done things you shouldn't do. Come and climb the altar. You want others so that you come and stand coolly and enjoy it. You don't want to see that we have caught you. Verse 11. So I rebuke the officials and ask them, why is the house of God neglected? Why is the church closed down? Why is it that the house of God has been neglected? Why is it that the priests are no more there? The elders are no more there. The musicians are no more there. We can't do morning church service. Why? The reason is because the house of God has been neglected. We don't have enough resources. Because Christians and church workers here are not paying tithe. So the house of God has been neglected. We have to let everybody go back and do their own work. We can't take care of the musicians, because there is no food in the house of God. No money. We can't take care of the musicians. Out of the little we have, we give them little. And sometimes it's not enough. It's not enough. And some of them, I have to tell them that, Charlie, you don't worry. You just be patient once more. And very soon, things will work out. To give them heart. To hold on. And hope that a time will come that you and I will be faithful with our tithe, so that God's house will have enough resources to employ these people to work for the church fully. Praise God. If you have ever heard that musicians must be paid, it is true. If you have ever heard that people who work in the house of God must be paid, it is true. It's not a lie. It's in the Bible. They are the Levites. It's not just the pastor. The Levite includes everybody who is in the temple working. He's a Levite. Under normal circumstances, all the people I call shepherds, they should be on full time. 100 shepherds, I pay them. When they wake up Monday to Friday, we are soul hunting. You see the number of souls we win. You see the number of souls we win. It's not shepherds who are already frustrated in their workplace. And they close on Tuesday, who's on some call shepherding? So do you see that in our days, we are not able to serve God like they used to? Now we have to manage, like, we have to do the thing halfway. That's what we are surviving. So if you say in those days, they were taking tithe and it was okay. And in our days, you say that in our days, it's a New Testament, so we should not pay tithe. Then what you are saying is that we should close down the church, because in the Old Testament, there was a church, and in the New Testament, there is a church. Workers in the church, that needs to be paid. So how do we pay for the bills? How do we buy the things? How do we work for the church? Clap your two hands with me. How do we? So you see that people who argue that have not thought deep about what they are talking about. Amen. Verse 12. All Judah brought the tithes. This Nehemiah trying to restore the church. That all Judah brought the tithes. All Judah brought the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil into the storeroom. All Judah restored. You see, after Nehemiah called them to order, oh, I pray that as I've called us to order, every one of us will become a serious tither in the church. Unless you are saying the church should be closed down. This is the number one reason why I pay tithe. I pay tithe because everything about the church is at stake. And if I don't give my little tithe, it means that I'm saying the church should be closed down. And as a lover of God, I will not allow the church of God to be closed down. I will not allow all the workers to leave and not to be able to work. And then the last verse, verse 13. I put Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and a Levite named Pedaiah in charge of the storeroom, the account, the finance. I put them in charge of the finance and made Hanan, son of Zakkur, the son of Mattaniah, their assistant, because they were considered trustworthy. They were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their fellow Levite. You see? So the supply that come in to the house of God, it has been distributed, it is being used to run the church administratively, pay bills of the church. It is being used to provide everything that we need in the church. It is being used to also take care of orphans, people who are in need, who are dangerously in need in the church. The tithe is also used to help some of them. Amen. But how can we do that if people are not paying? Deuteronomy 14, 28, 29. I'm reasoning with you. I'm trying to make you understand why I pay tithe. Because not failure to pay tithe is like wickedness towards the church of God. Yeah. Aside all spiritual blessings that we may get. 28, everybody. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithe of that year's produce and store it in your towns. This is the law. They are giving them more instruction on how to pay the tithe. So that the Levites who have no land allotted to them or any inheritance of their own, this is what I explained to you, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied. The fatherless, the widows, the strangers who have come to your town, so that when they are looking for where to eat, they can look for a nearby church. And just when they enter into that church, they can get food to eat. They can get money to do something in their lives. But today, is it like that? It's not like that. It's not like that, because the title is not like that. It's not like that. And some few churches like us who are trying to still help people. Just today, somebody has gone to school. And the person who has gone to school just today has been given 2,000 cedis. The church was supposed to take care of somebody whose mother is dead, father is dead, has been in school, enrolled in nursing. The church has taken care of her. So she's completing 3 years moved away. No mother, no father. Clap your two hands. This is what we don't tell you. This is what you don't know. So when somebody says that the church doesn't help you, you don't know. Because we don't broadcast people's issues. Because the tithe is not coming and we entered into the year with debt and I couldn't get enough tithe to be able to pay, I spoke to my wife. My wife herself took her money and gave it to the person to go to school. By the church that is supposed to want to do these things. The church. The church. I guess what I'm saying. So there are people who are on our payos. They are poor people. People have completed school. Now you go to Kumasi, we have people who have completed school, who were on our bills to be completed school. Not one, not two. Today they are graduates, but they had nobody, no mother. Mother died, no father. And we had to take over. How will we be able to pay tertiary bills if not for tithes and those things? And when the money is not enough, we look for help from someone. But a church should be able to give like unlimited scholarship. Poor people should be able to enter and eat for free. People who don't have money to feed their children should be able to come to the treasury, to the accounts, and say that, oh, this week we don't know what to eat. And then something can be given to them. But now it's difficult to do that. The reason is because a lot of us don't pay real tithes. We don't pay tithes. So the money that comes in has not even finished paying the administrative overheads. How much more going into charitable works? So if you ever hear that tithe is for poor people, tithe is given to poor people, it is true, but when it is not paid, it cannot be effectively done by the church. Clap your two hands for me. I guess what I'm saying. Is everything in the Bible? Are you seeing everything from the Bible? You ask questions. So. Number two. Why I pay tithe? Number two, why do I pay tithe? It tells God I trust in Him for sustenance. I pay tithe because it is a way to tell God that, God, I trust in you to sustain me for the rest of the month. People who don't pay tithe don't pay because they think their money is not enough. True or not true? Hello, true or not true? Because you have done the deductions and you say, no, wait, I was saying, wait, up, prepare. You said, wait, to your transportation. You have to your, I was saying, yes, you see, so I will not be able to pay tithe. So people who don't pay tithe, they don't pay because they don't think that they can be sustained. They don't trust God enough to sustain them to the end of the month. They believe in their own financial prudence. I have to save this one. I have to keep this one. I have to spend this one. This one is for transportation. This one is for this. So, and tithe is not part because they think the money is not enough. But I pay tithe because I trust in God for my sustenance. That even though what I have is not enough, I am giving God the tithe because He will sustain me to the end of the month. May that be your own conviction. I said, may that be your own conviction. That you pay tithe not because the money is enough. Sometimes when you do the calculation, you can scan it even somewhere on the 20th. From 20th to 30th, no, you don't know how, but you still paid your tithe. That is faith. When we talk about trust, we are talking about confidence in God. Having confidence that He is able to take care of you. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Bible says that trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So church worker, trust in the Lord. Don't trust in your own mathematics. Put your trust in the Lord. In your heart, and lean not on your own understanding of how to save yourself in a month. God can sustain you. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I said God can sustain you. Can I hear an amen? I said God can sustain you. Can I hear an amen? So it tells God that I trust in Him. So if you don't pay tithes, you are telling God, Lord, I don't trust that you can help me to the end. So I have to use this money to pay this one. I have to use this money to do this. I have to use this money to go and pay that light bill or go and do that thing, because I don't think that you can help me. It's a statement of distrust. But this year, may God sustain you. I said, may God sustain you. Psalm 125 verse 1 says that they that trust in the Lord, they shall be as strong as Mount Zion, immovable, unshakable. So if you can trust in God, your finances will be strong. Your life will be strong. Your destiny will be strong. Clap your two hands and say an amen. Or say an amen. Number three, why do I pay tithes? I pay tithe because it creates margin in your life for God to fill. It creates margin in your life for God to fill. You have received your salary, which is 100%. And you give 10%, that means that you have created a margin of 10%. As to whether God will want you to suffer or God will feel it, is an issue of trust. So when I pay tight, I have created margin in my salary for God to feel. It would have been 1,000 cedis, but I've given him 100 cedis. Where will I get it back from? It is for God to feel. It could have been 2,000 cedis, but I've given him 200 cedis. So I've created a margin of 200 cedis. It would have been 500 Ghana cedis at the end of the month, but I have given God the 50 Ghana cedis, which is tight. So I've created the margin. So anytime I pay tight, I create a margin so that God will fill it with miracle. I pray that as you begin to pay tight really well, may God fill your margins with miracle. That is where God fills you in a miraculous way. And you're like, me, myself, no, in Kasika, we can soon. It's M11 say. Because you created a margin and God filled it. May God fill every margin you create. Are you here with me at all? I said, may God fill every margin you create. Number 4. Write the scriptures for it, please. Psalm 81 verse 10. He said, open your mouth wide, I shall fill it. That's margin. Increase it and God shall fill it. Take a risk. Give God his tithe. And create a margin and watch God fill it for you. And then 2 Kings 3, verse 16. 2 Kings 3, verse 16. Let's read that one. 2 Kings 3:16. And he said, thou sayest the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. God told, he spoke to the people through Elisha, that create wells. Muntutu amana, amana bibri. Nyankupon di su e di shimuma, for you to have water to drink. They didn't have barrels. They didn't have anything. They only dug the wells and God filled it with water. God filled it with water. So when you pay your tithe, you have created a margin and it is God who filled that margin. And when God is filling your cup, guess what? He will make it overflow. True or not true? When God is filling your, when you are filling it, you fill it to the brim. But when God is filling your cup, it always overflows. My cup runs over. May your own cup begin to run over. I said, may your own cup begin to run over. Tap somebody by you and say, start creating margins for God to fail.
It's margins for God to fail.
Number 4. It reminds me that I'm not the source, but God is my source. Why do I pay tithe? It reminds me that I'm not my source. God is my source. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from who? Comes from God, comes from above, comes from God, in whom there is no partiality. Every salary comes from God. Every job comes from God. Hello, are you following me? That's your job. Is it not God that gave you? If God didn't give you an opportunity to work, and your leg is hanging on a sick bed, will you have the opportunity to work? If God didn't touch the heart of that man to employ you, you think that they are going to employ you? If God didn't give you that brother who is rich for him to employ you in his company, do you think that you'll be employed? There is nothing that you have that God didn't give you. Everything. In fact, the matter you have taken over her shop, that I said, hey, Juma, we did, hey, mami, Juma, nami ne dema. Nami amawa nyene ba, in kasao, Juma, we kao benya. So there is nothing that you have that God didn't give you. So when you refuse to pay tithe, you are trying to say that by your own sweat, by your own might, you got this money. And that God is not the one who gave you. For you to go and give him back his portion. You may not say with your mouth, but your heart has said it. You may not say with your mouth, but your actions have said it. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? I pay my tithe not because I have money. I pay my tithe not because what I have is so enough for me. I pay my tithe because it is in acknowledgement that God is the giver. Deuteronomy 8:18 says that you shall remember the Lord your God. You see, in tithing, we remember. You shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you what power to get wealth. 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 It's not to cast out devils, to get even money. Power to get money. That means that for every money that came into your hand, there's a level of carrying. If your power changes, your money changes. That is why people catch corner and go and look for blood money power, and all of a sudden some monies are coming to their house. Because the level of power you are is determine the level of money that operates in your hands. And thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. How do we remember? When your salary comes, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, that it is he that giveth you that power to do this work. He that giveth you this opportunity. And you do that by what? The payment of that 10 cedis, the payment of that 20 cedis, according to the real calculation. That's what makes you see the results. That's what makes you see the blessing. Oh, if you are clapping, do it better. Clapping, do it better. Are you following me? Or you don't like my teachings? I know there are many things out there confusing a lot of people. I know there are issues in your life that is not allowing you to be faithful with God. But I'm telling you why I pay tithe. These are the reasons why I pay tithe. I pay tithe because it's a statement of my trust in God. I pay tithe because it reveals the source of the money. That I am not the source. That God is my source. Deuteronomy 26 verse 1 to 4. Deuteronomy 26 verse 1 to 4. It's also one of the chapters that talk about tithing. That talks about tithing. That talks about tithing. Verse 1 to 4. Now, let's all read together. Quickly, let's read together. One, go. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it, and you dwell in it. The Lord, the land which who gave you? Did you create it yourself? No. The land which the Lord thy God gives you. So, it's a way to say, God, you gave it to me. Verse 2. That you shall take some of the first of the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. It's talking about tithe. You put it in your envelope, and you go to the place where God has put his name, which I've explained to you that is the church. That's where God has put his name. So, you do your tithing because you have come to the land where the Lord gave you. You have gotten a job that the Lord has given you. You have gotten a salary that the Lord gave you. Even if it's 100 cedis, that is what the Lord gave you. And you must be faithful with that 10 cedis. You must be faithful with that 5 cedis. You must be faithful with that 1,000 cedis. You must be faithful with that 2,000 cedis. Clap your two hands for Jesus. Clap your two hands for Jesus. Ask the one by you, are you following? Now, rise to your feet. Rise to your feet and write this one down. Number 5. It connects my money to a kingdom purpose. Why do I pay tithe? I pay tithe because it connects my money to a kingdom purpose. A kingdom purpose. It makes my money also does something about the kingdom. Now, let me ask you. Don't be shy. Just tell me some of the things you use your money to do. Okay? Just be real with yourself. That, if you're a serious person, you should have a budget by now. You should have a budget. You should know the things you spend on, like light, water, rent. You should have it. If you have not written it down, it should be on your mind. You should have a budget. So, I want somebody to just tell me 3 of the things that anytime he receives his salary, he does. Don't talk about God, but talk about the other things mostly your money does. Just, I need 3. Yeah, Overseer Simon.
The first thing that I do is that I take salary. If I took my salary, I would take top money from it. I would take feeding fee from it. Children feeding fee. And I'll pay light bill. I'll pay water bill. I'll buy foodstuffs. And I'll buy water that is pure water.
Drink. Let's clap for him. Who else can tell me just some two things that you do with your money, mostly monthly, when you get? Just some. Yeah, Pastor Jonah.
When my son come, I take baby food. And money I save for month, and also and I say utility bills, also money for and money for my wife.
Magabadabahash. Amen. Hello, are you following it? All the things they mention, how does it affect heaven? Oh, now think about it. All the things they mention, will you make somebody go to heaven? Your landlord will see how faithful you are and will decide to go to heaven. True or not true? So now, which all what the money does, if you be very sincere with yourself, is that aside tithes, what your money really does are earthly things. How many of you agree with what I'm saying? They're earthly things. Let's be real here. It is your tithe that makes you consciously set aside something for heavenly purpose, for the kingdom of God. Something that will affect God's purpose. That souls will be saved in that church because your money is sustaining it. That people's lives will be transformed in that church. That pastors will not leave like the way in Nehemiah's time, they had all run away. And they have all become businessmen, doctors, and then other things. They will not run away. You say, let me tell you, if the tithes are enough for me to have enough money to employ people like Pastor Paul, people like Pastor Collins, and all the pastors and the leaders that I need them, but I can't afford to pay them. So I let them go. Like, I should have even employed my wife by now. I didn't employ them. Because she doesn't like going there. She's enthused about me. There's a ministry. And so I'll tell her, take your time, oh. Go and work. You need the money. Because I am not even getting anything substantial for myself. So it is what you are getting that is what's supporting you, so that the pressure will not come on me so much. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if tithes are coming and the church is doing well and we are paying our workers and pastor is being paid well, like I'm sure that my wife should even be working fully for the church. That's Nehemiah's time. All the priests are going to look for survivor. Survivor. Because the tithes are not coming. The tithes are not coming so that we can employ all these Levites. I follow what I'm saying. Meanwhile, somebody will come and say that, oh, why is it that we can't see this? Why is it that we can't find this? Oh, where is Pastor College? Oh, where is Pastor Cole? Oh, where is this? Why is that? But we can't afford to pay them fully. Otherwise, a lot of you will be on full time. But we can't afford. As I keep saying, when the church grows and the church becomes great and people are being faithful, they are paying their tithes. A lot of you, you'll be on full time. And yesterday, Pastor Jura was telling you that you'll be wealthy working for church. It's not like you'll come and we can't pay you. What is Charles doing in Accra by this time? What is Charles doing in Accra? He's a missionary. Missionary to Central Region. But lately, you see him in Accra almost every day. And he has to leave sometimes Friday night. Sometimes that because of somebody's survivor. Because the amount of money we pay him cannot survive him for the month. So he has to go and work. He has to look for jobs. And his kind of work, his customers are in Accra. So he has to. So I said, you don't worry, you come. 5 days go. That means that he will not be there Tuesday. He will not be there like. If he was there fully, like the way he went from the beginning, from morning to evening, he was there fully, going for outreach, coming, visitation, blah, 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 blah. The church was going faster. Now it has reduced because the missionary has to survive. The tithe is not coming. So anybody who is preaching against tithe is preaching against the kingdom of God unawares. He thinks he has caught a revelation. But no, it's a deception from the devil. Because a lot of things will go well if children of God are truthfully paying tithe. And if you think that you have caught any New Testament revelation and you are condemning tithe, what you are doing is that you are empowering a lot of people not to pay their tithe. And what you are doing is that you are ridding the church of the opportunity to have more missionaries and more souls to be won and more people to enter into the kingdom of God. Clap your two hands for me. If God doesn't come in and one day, me too, I'm tired. Me too, I just pick my bag and I pick my certificate. And you time you realize, you say that daddy is working as somewhere. Oh, yeah. That's the end of Yahweh. Your tithe should show that of Yahweh. Your tithe. It's not your mouth. It's not your mouth. Your tithe. Your tithe. You are a church worker. I can show you the reality of scripture. So that me too, I'll get home 7 p.m. Then I'm now trying to settle. By the time you need me, by the time I must intercede for you, I will not be there. I'll have to just do just 1 hour. Just because I'm a lay person. By morning, I'm in somebody's office. I'm working. I cannot do anything for the church. Yes, we can't go for crusade. We can't go for outreach. Who will give you that kind of long distance to go and plan it and go and it takes full time people. You see, if the tithes are okay and we can pay him and his children will not go hungry, like we have more hands. Now, are you getting what is at stake? So anybody who is not involved in tithing, you are breaking that scripture that there will be enough resources in God's church so that the poor can be fed. The strangers can get food. The Levites, musicians, choristers, pastors who work for the church fully, who are always in the church working, they don't need to move from the traffic and we are waiting for them and they have not arrived and the place is dry. No. So you are ending. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Levites includes prayer squad. Include prayer warriors. Every big church you see over there, they have prayer warriors they pay fully. Who are there praying? You think Alpha Hour, the people who pray through the night, in the morning they go to work. The people who are with him praying for hours, they pray before they start. Afterwards too, they pray. I heard him saying that they pray and prepare and then they pray together in the program. Then after they finish too, they pray. So they sleep in the morning. Because Pastor Elvis is in the morning, they all rest. I will not be surprised that very, very soon, if it has not yet even happened, as at the level they've got into, it should have happened. The wife must come on full time. Because the time you are sleeping, your husband is at work. The time that your husband is home, that he needs your attention, you're also going to somebody's bank. Are you getting it? Now, that is the mystery of tithing. And that's why Nehemiah said, no, let us bring back the priests and the Levites to come and stay in the church and work for the church. And let's restore the tithes so that there will be enough. People will love to work for God. And a lot of you would have loved to work for the church if we could pay you the money you are getting out there. You would have loved. It's not like you don't like God. You like God, but I won't cheer. I won't cheer it. I remember growing up with Simon. Overseer Simon. It's a church room that we sleep in. We sleep in church. We wake up in church. Like Job, Ejuma did not any. Simon, Ejuma didn't 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 church, prayer, prayer, following the man of God. That was all. If the church were to be taking care of him, he shouldn't be working in microfinance by this time. When we church even meets him, he's not around because he has to finish up this. But you can't blame him because the tithes were not coming for the church to be able to pay him. Otherwise, his wife and children. If God doesn't do something to help Charles, how will he marry? Yes, with the money the church gives him. So ask him. Now I've been forwarding job links to him. Me, the apostle, sent him on missions. Because the tithe is not coming. Because when I see his face, I know he wants to marry this year. Why what? So I sit down. Ask somebody about you. Do you understand what pastor is saying at all? You say, so it is the tithe in our money that gives us what? A kingdom purpose. It makes our money do something that affects the kingdom. Aside the tithe, everything in our list is for earthly gain, is for earthly pleasure, survival, satisfaction. Do you agree with me now? So if you take the tithe out, it means that the money that came into your hands, you really did not do anything much that affected the kingdom. So I pay tithe because it connects my money to a kingdom purpose. Aside the gifts I'll give to poor people, aside some seeds I may give to some people or some projects I went to do, my tithe is my number one connector to the kingdom of God. It gives me monthly renewal, the kingdom of God, that the purpose of God. I've done something for the purpose of God. That this month, we've been able to pay church office worker. We've been able to buy new fan. We've been able to repair this. We've been able to repair that. I've been seeing this, and anytime I see it, then my heart. The thing is fought, scattered, destroyed. But this small thing that you see here is the last time we checked, and I'm 1,000 cities. This year it should be 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 this month. They call it splash or something. If you want brand new original part, they only number 1,500, 2,000. Who with him? And then home use. Make a home use. So everything that happens in God's house is being run by the tithes. The tithes. That's the major thing. Number 5. It gives your job an eternal significance. Number 6. It gives your job an eternal significance. Deuteronomy 25, verse 4. It also, it makes your job becomes important. Ah, see, over here, the Bible says that any ox, any cattle that is grazing your farm, don't tie the mouth. As it's grazing your farm, he'll be hungry. Let the ox eat some. Let the ox eat some. That means that any work that is affecting the kingdom, God is interested in its well-being. Like any worker who is working for the kingdom, God is interested. Your job also becomes important to God. I'm using this scripture to just imply, to interpret something. That just as the ox is important for the husbandman, so also your job that is producing that money, that brings the tithe, becomes important to the God that you bring the tithe. So he has to protect your job for you. He has to bless that your job for you. Because your job is having an eternal what? Significance. May your job begin to have eternal significance. If you don't pay tithe, your job is just feeding you, sponsoring your womanizing things. Your job is just giving you money to just have earthly pleasure. I'm building, you know, young man like me, I'm building. Your work is just sponsoring your ambition. There is nothing eternal about your work. But the work of a tithe is very important. As a pastor, if I hear that any tithe has a problem in my work, it becomes concern. I have to pray. Because I don't understand why a tithe should. Because you are the ox that is what? Treading the grain. May your job be to the church. May your job be important to God. Number 7, it transforms your money into a seed. Psalm 126, verse 6. It transforms your money into a seed. Hey, why you pay tithe? Your money is just money and you are chopping it. But when you take out the 10%, Your money that was just natural money has now become a spiritual seed that you have sown. And as long as you have seed being sown, you have harvest. Bible says that they that go about bearing precious seeds, you can go about blowing high time, blowing your money. You are not bearing precious seed, but you can convert your money into a seed when you start using it for godly purpose, for Christian purpose, for godly purpose, for godly purpose. And no, one way you do that is through the tithing, aside other avenues you can also. So turn your money into a seed. By you, turn your money into a seed so that you will keep having harvest. Keep having harvest. Bible says he will undoubtedly come back with his sheaves with him. He will come back with his sheaves. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 says that he that sows anyhow will also reap anyhow. He that sows poorly will reap poorly. He that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. That's what he's saying. So if you pay your tithe well, then your harvest too can be well. Otherwise, your money is just money in your hands. You spend it, it gets finished. But you can turn your money into a good seed. Can I hear an amen? Clap your two for that powerful word. Number 8, it breaks greed and self-reliance of my heart. Why do I pay tithe? Because when I pay tithe, it breaks greed and self-reliance. I say greedy people, their money is not enough for them. One sign of a greedy person is it and soon die. So we have poor, greedy people. Not just rich, greedy person. Sometimes you think that, oh, greedy. Greedy is one of the ways is when you think your money is not enough in your eyes. That it's a sign of greed. Read the scripture. Luke 12, verse 15. Luke 12, verse 15. Are you with me? Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possession. Life is not all about money. Life is not all about money. Huh? Life is what? It's not all about money. Life is not all about money. You see, this guy is a Levite. He's a Levite. He's a Levite. What time did you leave home today? 4. So how many hours did he sleep? Why wouldn't he be in such a spiritual meeting sleeping? You can't blame him. You blame your tithelessness. Because if the church, because this guy was, he was one of the people who was sleeping in the church. Is it true? He was one of the people who was sleeping in the church. Maybe me, I've slept in church before. He's one of the people who was sleeping in the church, taking care of the church. Instead of going to back to Volta region, he said, I'll stay here with you. And he stayed here and slept in the church. And I said, then start looking for a job. Because I can't pay you. So start, if I could pay him, he would have been at least taking care of the church and then also now start his training. Like by this time, he's a full-time pastor in the church. But I had to let him go and go and work for somebody from 4 a.m. when you are still dreaming. From 4 a.m. And then when he comes, you expect him to be as energetic as you that you left home 8 o'clock. Do you get it? So, this thing is affecting the modern day church and must be looked at. And that is why we have a lot of people who cannot work for God now. We have to just accept and do some kinds of bad jobs. Not because we don't like God, but because we want to survive. All the job you got is casino, casino. You just agree and you go and do it. Meanwhile, ideally, you shouldn't have. You should have just been comfortable and just be working for God, knowing that at least the good people of God, they will not steal God's tithe, and they will bring God's tithe, and you too, you can be paid so that you can render service to them. Clap your two hands for me. But from today, God's house will have enough resources. Clap your two hands for the Lord. God's house. Mm-hmm. Clinton, how many jobs are you doing? 2. Wouldn't you have loved to work for God? The guy loves God. He's coming from work. Oh. When he leave here too, he will go to another work. He works day and night. 2 jobs. Two laughs. So when he come and he sits at the back like that, he's tired. Meanwhile, those days when he was not working, he would be here. Early on time, lead prayer, taking all the photos and everything. Now I can't complain. That way it's clean. I can't complain. I can't complain because when we close church and you are going home to sleep, he's going to walk away for the next job. He's... How can you complain? That means that the fact that he even came with his tired face is even a blessing. He could have gone home crowd to go and rest and go to the second job. Because that's what some of you would have done. It is so sometimes when I stand, I just look at people. I just see why some of us, we are at the level where we are. It's not like we don't love God, but like life is happening. You see people who were students, who were on fire. When we start working, they start work and other, you see that challenge? It's difficult to manage the two together. But God will help us. Tell somebody, God is helping you. Or tell him, God is helping you. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever is greedy never has enough. When you take your salary and you say it's not enough, so you are not paying your tithe, you are greedy. You are greedy. So when I pay my tithe, it helps me to overcome the spirit of greed. Now, whoever says his money is never enough is a greedy person. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is vanity. It's vanity. So people who don't pay their tithes because they say it's not enough is a sign of greediness. 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 Oh, thank you. Chami 2000 and Akamechia. I always said, and so. When they pay you 2002, you'll get another excuse. Come here, the prayer. Because he who is unfaithful with the least will be unfaithful with more. You don't think it's to take 1,000 cities as tight. You say God should give you 10,000 cities as tight. Can you count 1,000 cities as tight and give to God? Have you ever counted 1,000 cities to give to God before, either tight or sacrifice? Some of you have never tried it before. So some of you, the blessing you are praying for, God knows you are even disqualified. He knows you can't give him if he gives them to you. You can't give them back because you are greedy. Every money you have is not enough. Every money you have. Ask the one, are you a tither? Are you a tither? Or you are greedy? Are you a tither? Or you are being greedy? You are being greedy. This year you have plans. You want to build. You want to marry. So you are being greedy. Huh? May we repent in Jesus' name. Number 9, it lets everything in your life know that God has first place. When you are tighter, it makes everything in my life know that God has first place. That's why I pay tight. Because everything in my life will know that God has first place. Deuteronomy 36 verse 1 tells us that you take the first of the fruits. The first of the fruits. When you read verse 12, he mentions the name tithes. From verse 1, he mentions, you may think he's talking about just first fruit, but he was talking about tithes. Because tithes are the first thing you pay before you take light bill. First thing. So I want you to correct that thing. Everybody, when you draw your budget, the first thing you deduct should be tithes. I said the first thing should be what? Now that is how to make it look spiritual, or that's how to make it have its place. It is called the first and the best. The first fruits. Of your income, the best. It is not the leftover. God doesn't deserve the leftover. You give him the first. Put here no free money. I cannot now pay what budget or light or water. And no thing I won't share tight, no, because tight, no. Put him be free money. Niankebe cannot answer na uti with tight. When you pay tight that way, you have put it in second place. It's no more holy. The baby that comes out of your womb, he says that the first one is holy unto me. That's the principle of tithe. First things. First things. Are you listening to me? So if you pay your tithe second, you have made it unholy. It's supposed to be the first. It's supposed to be the first thing you deduct from your money. Then the rest to become holy. Take your time and read the scripture well. And you realize that that's how it is done. When you take the first, the rest becomes holy. When you eat the first, You take it, then all becomes unholy. When you read Deuteronomy 26, the whole chapter, you see, it calls it that I have given you the tithes, so I have given you the holy things. When you read around verse 11 and 12, thereabouts, you see what I'm talking about. He calls it the holy, the first, the holy things. Deuteronomy 26, verse 1 to 4, and then verse 12. Read verse 12 for me. Okay, verse 10. It says, now I bring the first fruits. Oh, go to verse. Now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. 11. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. And then verse 12. When you have finished setting aside the tenth, that's tithe, of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Lord. He's talking about tithe. Some of the verses, he calls it the first fruit because it's the first things that you do. It's not like it's a different first fruit, it's a different thing. It's actually a way they call tithe, first fruit. The first thing you give to the Lord before you give other things. Clap your two hands. Then the last one. Why I pay tithe, it tells God that I'm obedient to him. It's an issue of obedience, that I'm obedient. Tithing isn't an act of generosity. Write it down. Tithing is not because you are kind. We don't tithe because we are kind. We don't tithe because we are generous. Tithing is an act of faithfulness because it is for him and you were faithful to give it back to him. You didn't touch it. What is for you when you give it to others like this? Like the widows and other things, it is called generous giver. Now, when you pay tithe, you have not been generous. The money is not yours. It's for God, and you gave him back, so you have been faithful. Amen. Do you understand the difference? When you give, we give out of generosity, but we pay tithe. That's why we say, I give tithe. You don't say, I'm going to pay offering. I'm going to pay a gift to somebody. We give offering. All those things are act of generosity. I can give my hand if I want to give God one city. I want to give God two cities. That one is generosity. It's out of love that I give. God loves a cheerful giver. But as for tithe, we calculate it. This is what came. These are the allowances I got this week. These are the tips I got. Then you calculate 10%. Then you give it to the Lord. That one is by faithfulness. It's not generosity. It's not because you are good in giving. Clap your two hands for the man.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.